For those looking for a liberatory martial arts learning approach and curriculum, we've created Liberation Martial Arts. It doesn't just teach you martial arts, it's also an approach to learning movement skills. The whole point of our program is to remove the need for a coach, to liberate you from the need of top-down instruction and toxic gyms. If you have a coach and also have a gym, then you can apply our learning approach to improve your progress. Or maybe you also need a supplemental martial arts community as a counter to the commercial gym you go to. You can actually apply our learning approach to learn anything, and our practitioners are. They're applying it to all sorts of things, whether physical, mental, or even personal. It's just a radically different approach to everything. Sign up for Liberation Martial Arts at the Southpaw Pod Patreon, or support us by signing up for one of the other tiers, and help us support this project while also getting access to bonus content like early releases of SDS9 with transcripts. SDS9 Season 3 was recorded from the beginning of 2023 to early 2024 and was first published on Patreon. Now that we're done with the season, the entire season is being released all at once on the Southpaw public feed. Find Season 4 on the Southpaw Pod Patreon. This is Southpaw Deep Space Nine Season 3, where we analyze Deep Space Nine and Star Trek from a political and historical lens, episode by episode. I'm watching DS9 with fresh eyes, and Scott is our veteran Trek fan. We are discussing Season 3 of DS9, Episode 18, Distant Voices. But I want to bring up that at the time of this recording, the WGA, Writers Guild of America, have gone on strike. And one of their main sticking points with the tech companies and studios is AI. It's a topic we talk about a lot on this show, and now it's come home to roost in real life. Amazon, Apple, Netflix are all studios now, and the other studios are all racing to be tech companies. So it's kind of odd talking about this because it's like DS9 storyline affecting us in real life, AI replacing humans, which also includes writers of the Star Trek franchises. The writers don't want AI to write scripts, and also they don't want writers to rewrite scripts by AI. The studios / media companies / tech companies are saying a hard no to that. So now we already know what these companies want to do. We know what their intent is, which is that whether they were going to strike or not, they were going to try to replace them. So then striking, they have nothing to lose. So you can see how existential this is and how the studios are already ready to go all in on AI development. So we're in a scary timeline right now, and this isn't just going to affect writers. This is going to be the precedent for AI and all workers. So everybody's watching this. This is probably the most interest people have had in a writer's strike. Because I think most people don't care about Hollywood writers because they think of them as rich and bougie, but this time they do, because whether we want them to fight this fight or not, it's them fighting this fight right now. It's also cluing us in on how these big companies are looking to replace workers. IBM even said as much. And in many other tech companies, it's been an open secret, replacing people with AI. So because of this, in solidarity with writers, Scott and I are going to be taking a break from recording for a bit, which for listeners won't mean much because by the time you hear this, the strike will be over. We'll just stop releasing the episodes that are already in queue. So right now we're recording but we're actually several episodes ahead. But when you do listen to this, it'll explain to you why there was a gap in the release of the episodes, but also a gap in the timeline between this episode and episode 19, Through the Looking Glass, which we'll record after the strike is over, because I don't plan to really watch anything and I don't really mind, because I have no problem boycotting all these Marvel pre-existing IP, multiverse, time travel, superhero. If they want me to do a permanent boycott in solidarity, I'm okay with that. If you don't want me to watch any of that stuff, I am okay with that.
Yeah, no, just to piggyback, like, yeah, I mean, solidarity. And, you know, I feel like it'll, by continuing to record podcasts and content that people can listen to, it may take away from people pushing for the strike to end. And we, these writers, they're good people. What they're asking for is very reasonable. So it's not hard for me to do this. If people that are not going to, people like Comrade Boots Riley is not going to push for his TV show that he's been working so hard on, if he can do it, we can do it. It's not hard. It's not hard. That's all I'm saying.
Yep. It's really not that hard.
It's not. And this will be a short episode on it anyway, because this episode sucked. And so it sucks that we're taking a break on like a just adequate beat, but here we are.
Here we are. But even though these episodes are kind of clunkers, I appreciate that, because they're clunkers written by actual human beings.
Which is why we don't skip clunkers, which is why we don't skip any episodes. Yes. We don't skip, you know, if we ever get to a part where we're reviewing movies written by AI, we can skip those episodes. But as long as episodes involve human beings, written by human beings, whether I like them or not, we're going to give them that integrity and dignity. So yeah, this is a Bashir episode and is directed by Bashir Alexander Siddique.
What?
Yep.
I did not know that. Okay. Because the thing that impressed me the most about this episode was the acting.
Well, you know, I'm like 98% sure he directed this episode. And as I'm sure many of you know, him and Nana Visitor, the actor who played Kira, were married for many years. So Bashir and Garrick are having food. They have lunch often. They're friends, I guess. Garrick wishes Bashir an early birthday. He gives him a gift. It's a Holosuite Cardassian murder program, mystery program. Bashir doesn't really like Cardassian mysteries because, like, you sort of know who did it always, but it's just about how guilty you are. They just have a different sort of artistic style. Bashir is expecting a surprise party. He gets them every year. He's turning 30, and he's having feelings about it. In Cardassia, aging is respected and a sign of power, and in a lot of cultures, aging is a beautiful thing, but in certain sectors of Earth and humanity, age is akin to death and scary. Quark introduces Bashir to a friend named Altivar, who's looking for some medical gel, and Bashir won't sell it to him. It's like some sort of scheduled narcotic. He goes to the infirmary. He sees Altivar ransacking the place and blasts him with some weird energy and leaves with the gel. Bashir comes to, and the whole place that he's in just looks weird. No one is hearing his computer engagements. Bashir is just walking around the station and can't find anyone. He finally finds Quark, but Quark is afraid. He says, "He is here." And they throw something at him. And Bashir finds Garrick, who's also looking for Odo. The computer isn't working. Almost everything is dead or off. And it's just weird. Bashir is hearing voices, and his hair is slowly turning gray, and he's slowly looking older. Bashir and Garrick split up, which is always recommended in a scary situation like this. You should always split up with people.
they're doing as they're trained, I guess.
I guess. The voices get louder. Bashir gets grayer. He finds Miles, Kira, Odo, Dax to hunt down Altivar that has caused this for some reason. Everyone is arguing and being mean and weird. They feel like out of place versions of themselves. The voices continue to get louder, but Bashir can't hear exactly what they're saying. You know, Bashir is looking for answers, but everyone is acting aggressive. They try to hail other ships, but it isn't working. The voices are, they realize that Bashir is in his own mind. He is in a coma. And if he doesn't get out in 3 hours, he will die. The characters in Bashir are figments of who he is and parts of him. And when they fix something, it makes his body work again. Miles fixed the comms and Bashir can hear. That's why they are acting weird, right? Because they're not them. They're figments. The station is Bashir. No station, no Bashir. The Bashir brain team, they want to meet in ops. Sisko is doing doctor stuff, and Sisko represents Bashir's professionalism. However, Altivar is taking away all the pieces of Bashir. Altivar says Bashir will watch him, will die slowly. Bashir is getting older and older. Altivar is trying to make Bashir second guess himself. Bashir and Miles meet and they go in circles. They get to Quarks, and at Quarks, they are betting on how Bashir is going to die and if he's going to die. Bashir bets on himself, but he can't find ops where he feels like he can fix himself. Garak is trying to help Bashir get up so they can go to ops. But when they get to ops, it's a surprise birthday party that Bashir has every year. And Bashir finally realizes that Garak makes no sense to him in his dream state, and that he reveals he is Altivar and makes fun of Bashir for not being a tennis star that Bashir wanted to be at some point, or a medical star. You know, Bashir purposefully didn't do great on his medical tests, so he wasn't at head of his class, and that Bashir apparently has a purposeful failed. He purposefully fails a little in life to not have pressure, which includes him and Dax, because you know that Bashir had feelings for Dax and that didn't go anywhere. And Bashir realizes he needs to go to medical and not ops, because in Bashir's life, his ops would be the infirmary. And Bashir actually prefers his friendship with Dax and doesn't regret tennis, and that he enjoys the life that he has because it brought him to Deep Space Nine. And with that, he creates a quarantine field, destroying Altivar, and wakes up in the infirmary. Altivar in real life is arrested. Garak and Bashir have dinner, and Garak is sort of impressed that he's the villain in Bashir's dream.
A note to our listeners. If you love the Southpaw Project, please support us and help us get paid for our labor by financially supporting us on Patreon. This will give you access to exclusive bonus content, like early releases of Southpaw Deep Space Nine, our fictional narrative podcast, Fighters Brew, break free versions of our shows without interruptions like you're hearing now, bonus articles, Fighters Brew transcripts with extra content, Liberation Martial Arts Online, as well as our private chat group on Discord. You can also make one-time donations at Ko-Fi or show your solidarity by wearing our swag. You can find all pertinent links at southpawpod.com. First off, notice here how Bashir is glum about aging and says it's a part of human culture, which you brought up. So this is an example of what Gramsci calls cultural hegemony. The West mistakes their culture for human nature, which reflects itself in the writing of even sci-fi. Scott, what did you think about this plot element, which was probably popular in the 90s? I don't see it as much today because youth culture is all over social media, so you don't need the TV shows to talk about it as much. But tell me what you thought about this capitalist obsession with youth.
I think, you know, being afraid of aging is a very easy thing to do. But honestly, my life got better when I turned 30, you know?
And also in context, right? He's turning 30 in a world where humans are living to like 130.
I know.
How are we supposed to feel for this guy?
We don't. I don't feel bad for this guy. This guy is handsome. He's successful. He's the youngest person to be nominated for a medical award. Like his life is awesome and it's only getting better.
Now we know when he was nominated, he was in his 20s.
Right. Now, aside from like Kendrick Lamar getting a Pulitzer Prize, like very early in the career, that usually is fine.
Yeah, Bashir, you're fine. Don't worry about it, dude. You're doing all right.
Exactly.
Now, with the Dominion threat, I notice it's used as an in-story boogeyman narrative to blame or excuse any action. Like in the previous episode, the Romulans were going to commit a war crime because Dominion. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. Dominion, Dominion, Dominion. Going back to this episode, one of the first things Bashir thinks is this might be a Dominion attack. And narratives are stories that make sense. And it's more about what makes sense rather than evidence. We talked about this last time about plausible deniability. Stories that make sense. It just has to be plausible rather than having evidence. And right now, the U.S. is using China like the Dominion and even painting them like that. China, China, China. Literally can bring them up to blame or justify anything. Or just bring them up and you can raise a bunch of money for your tech company. You could get more money for any of the U.S. departments. The founder of OpenAI, which is the parent company of ChatGPT, said in an interview, he knows the risks of AI, that this could possibly destroy everything as we know it. But he did it because China. Total non sequitur. It doesn't explain anything. It doesn't even make sense to me why he said that, but he did. But somehow that was a relevant answer to OpenAI, to him, to the interviewer, and to readers. Again, like the Dominion. It's just a boogeyman. Once you bring it up, you don't need to explain anything because the boogeyman is everything you fear. It is the answer to everything. So, of course, writers understand narratives, and narratives are also used politically, which parallels nicely with the specter of the Dominion in the current episodes. Except in their quadrant, the Dominion has military bases on every planet. In the real world, it's the U.S. who surrounds the whole fucking world with their bases. Like, look it up. You could find maps put together by independent researchers. And there's also academics in universities who try to track all of it. And it's around every fucking country. They could go to war with every country at once if they wanted to. They could fire missiles on every country at once if the U.S. wanted to. So if you want to draw your own actual parallels to the Dominion, to the country that actually has Dominion, it's not China. It's also interesting to watch a boogeyman be used to divide and conquer, which also plays out in real life and in this episode, even in Bashir's mind. The boogeyman is a useful weapon for empire. It's like parents who use scary monsters to control their children. It's simplistic, but also effective for Western adults. The War Department uses it all the time because that's part of how their budget never goes down, because they just keep fighting new boogeymen. Scott, how do you like the use and long slow burn of the specter of the Dominion, which is now being used as a political tool, but also fuel for paranoia? We hear more about the Dominion, even though we've met them, than we actually are dealing with them in the episodes. And does it for you conjure any parallels?
Well, yeah, you're creating the boogeyman because sometimes just this the idea of the boogeyman, the idea of it is enough to create fear. And also it's also that they're probably trying to save their budget for bigger things that, you know, there can't just be a gazillion wars because that's hard to budget for special effects and things. So
kick the shit out of O'Brien for a while then.
Yeah. So right now they're beating the shit out of O'Brien, seeing if the show is going to be renewed for another season before giving us more Dominion. So right now it's easier to, from a pragmatic standpoint, show, talk about it rather than showing it, right? And, but yeah, it just becomes a powerful thing, you know, the unknown known that is going to get you. That, yeah, that
just exists in people's minds more than they exist in reality.
Right. Sort of how, like, as you said, most people in this country actually don't really know anything about the Chinese government, right? And they hear the Chinese government and they think TikTok, and that you'll get arrested in China for Googling Winnie the Pooh. That is what people think China is, right? Not that it's a lot more complex, and that there's that just being just having a unironic, just like China is bad viewpoint just misses a lot of things. But it's just, yeah, China bad, Russia bad, Korea, well, North Korea bad, whatever bad, without digging deeper into it. So, but I don't really want to compare the Dominion to other countries because they're not. It's just, it's everything is more complicated than that.
Yes, yes. Scott, did this episode remind you of the last episode, Visionary? Because for this viewing, right, we watched them back to back and now we're talking about them back to back. We just separated. But for me, when I was like trying to remember and take some notes for our recording, I just couldn't tell when one episode ended and the other one began. They just seemed like just kind of the same episode, except they just replaced O'Brien with Bashir.
Yeah, it's just these are episodes that I haven't watched since I was a kid. They're not very interesting to me. And that just is what it is, man.
Fill in the blank episodes.
They're fill in the blank episodes. I think I'm just frustrated. I'm frustrated with the world, and I'm frustrated with Hollywood, and I'm frustrated with everything.
This has been a bad week. I mean, to be honest, right? In this current timeline, a lot of bad shit happened this week. And it's just like, America's still great, apparently, and still free and not a fascist country, when the things that just happened in one week here would have the West proclaiming a country would need to be overthrown. If you love the Southpaw Project, become one of our financial supporters. It'll help us supplement the cost of running this project, the incredible time and energy we put into it 7 days a week, and you'll be giving us some breathing room, not only to juggle Southpaw with our day jobs, but also to expand Southpaw into other areas. We can't exist without your contributions. Show your Southpaw solidarity by supporting us at southpawpod.com.
So I'm just kind of, I love unpacking Star Trek with you, and I love unpacking Deep Space Nine, but I'm also just frustrated with the world right now, Sam.
You're also a person, right?
Last time I checked.
Now, sort of like the last episode, this episode had some creepy philosophical questions for no reason that it never resolved. Like for the characters in this episode, they realize they only exist in the mind of Bashir, but they're still afraid to die. They still want their own personal identity, their own autonomy, which is an old philosophical concept of all of us only existing in the dream of a god, or the updated version of that same idea. We are all simulations or video game characters, and somebody is playing us. So why this is a philosophical thought is because for ages, people have been terrified by the idea that they are just fictional characters and God is the playwright. This fear can drive a pursuit for meaning and for religion. And here we also find out Dr. Horny is not completely dead, as in his mind, there is still a Dabo girl wearing a skin-tight see-through leotard singing to him happy birthday, kind of like how Marilyn Monroe sang to JFK. This scene also creeped me out. Seemed kind of like fan service, which for people who don't know, it stings to titillate cishet straight male viewers. And also, this is not new for DS9. And probably if we go back and watch even Star Trek Next Generation, it was probably there too. I don't know. But this type of fan service, this type of like chauvinism, misogyny, toxic masculinity is not new in Star Trek, in DS9. Because I have a friend in real life, somebody who's older than me, who has written for Star Trek and knows some of the writers of the original DS9. And I asked him about that fucked up thing about Jake as a minor dating an adult Dabo girl. And I asked him, what was the point of that? He was like, oh, the point of that was back in the 90s, if you wanted to portray a young man, a teenager, as being cool, as the man, the typical trope was you had him dating an older woman. So a boy dating a woman back then, that meant you were a stud. So that's why they did it. And I was like, when I heard the actual reason, it wasn't by accident. They didn't think better of it. They were trying to like develop character in a very gross way, which I hope Hollywood writing, especially these type of popular inclusive shows, have thought better of. But at that time, they were still doing shit like this, which is just grooming and it's just fucked up. And he was disgusted too. He's like, yeah, we would never do that now. But he's like, that's kind of how they did shit back then, which is why we need to change shit, because for too long, fucked up shit was acceptable.
Right.
Now, also similar to the last episode where you had Odo's unrequited feelings for Kira, here you have Bashir's feelings for Dax, which also made me confuse the two episodes. But more building, more slow burn, more foreshadowing, more very kind of low budget, closed space. It's all about words and exposition more than having to spend a budget and do anything. And it's all about acting, which in this episode, I did appreciate Bashir, the actor.
It's good acting.
Yeah, he showed his range. So I know you didn't like this episode. Overall, you said there's some stuff we need to know about Bashir. Was this episode important for knowing about him or not?
No. No.
So this is all just like the last episode, a what if episode that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Scott, can you tell us about the next episode?
Yes, I can. And I'm annoyed that it's going to be a while before we do this episode, but we will take as long as it takes, because solidarity forever.
Part of why I didn't enjoy these two episodes was because I realized the strike like just had started. And then it was like following my gut. I was like, trying to understand, why am I feeling this way? Because the thing about the WGA strike, because it is kind of mostly led by Biden bros and Biden stans, they haven't made any demands. They haven't made any demands to the public, what they want from us. There's no cohesive message. Most of the time, all the picket signs are individualized. It's like just jokes and tweets that they're putting up, right? They're just trying to be funny. It's not the typical type of strikes that we're used to. So I didn't know what they wanted from me, but in watching it, I was like starting to feel gross, which is part of, I think, why we both probably didn't enjoy the episodes that much. And in reflecting and thinking about why do I feel this way, I realized, oh, it's because I'm watching this shit while the strike just started. And so I'm like, okay, well, this should be the last of the episodes we do. And that's why I messaged you about we should stop after this. And you were like, of course, right? So did you get that sense like at some point, like, man, watching this shit is kind of making me feel icky?
Yeah, because also like, you know, I'm willing to go a little further and be like, I'm going to stream less. I'm going to do less. But at the same time, it's hard to, it's complicated. It's hard. I don't know.
I'm listening to more podcasts. I'm reading more comic books. I'm touching more grass. I'm talking to more people. So it's also kind of like a good, maybe a mental health break in some way, right? It's like now I got to fill that time with something else.
Exactly. So yes, next episode is through the looking glass. It's a mirror universe episode.
Another mirror of time travel doppelgangers mirror episodes.
And guess who's like one of the main characters in that? Miles.
Oh God. That's cool. We get to come back to this just right where we left off. Just the random fill in the blank episodes.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Until then.
If you like this episode and like what we do, support us on Patreon. We also have the Liberation Martial Arts program if you want to train with us from wherever you are. It's both theory and practice and removes the need for an instructor. What you're learning is how to teach yourself. It's also an approach you can take with you from the gym into the world. Sponsors get a monthly training session with me, either in person or online. Supporting me not only helps me pay my bills, but it also helps me support my family. Find all our links, including Southpaw merch, at southpawpod.com.